Ramble.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. Today, we're just going to be talking about my COVID story. For those of you that don't know, I actually had COVID back in April. So we're just going to dive on deep into what that was like for me. How is everyone doing? What's everyone been up to? How was everyone's weekend? Just checking in.
It was good. Good morning. We had to go to the vet this weekend. Little Alfredo licked a little spot off of his foot. And turns out it's like maybe ringworm.
Oh, maybe ringworm. No.
I know. Or like a bug bite. Okay. To be totally honest, I blame the office. Yeah. So we think it was a bug bite that he maybe got at the office.
We're actually taking Bowie in on Tuesday because he also has a bald spot on his paw.
And he also went to the office.
To the office when Zach got locked out of the house.
Oh, no. Hi.
I know. So we'll get to the bottom of it. Hopefully soon.
Bean has the opposite problem. He has more hair than he knows what to do with. I actually had to trim his like eye area yesterday because he would chase bangs. A ball and his bangs. Well, they're actually they're more like his eyebrows. It's like his eyebrows show like an old man in front of his eyes. So I have to so I just sort of trim all the way across. And but he was chasing balls and running into the wall.
Oh, his little periphery vision.
Because he can't see.
Poor buddy.
I know. And we usually take him to get groomed like, you know, once every 2 months or something like that. I mean, his hair grows so fast, especially in the summer for some reason. He gets really hot. So poor thing. He's laying on the floor next to me here. But now he can see.
Well, Mags, you had COVID.
I know.
COVID. I did get COVID. Yeah. So
this was early pandemic. We're now deep into it.
Yeah. So everything had shut down in March. And obviously everyone was very, like, in my nursing friend group was very nervous to be going to the hospital, like, if I'm being quite honest. But as you all know, my department started wearing face masks even before it was recommended by the hospital. We would just wear like a simple face mask around everybody, and would just discard it by end of day just because supplies were short. Mm-hmm. So I was protecting myself. We weren't wearing eye shields quite yet just because the recommendations were changing. And they're still changing like week to week, but I actually got it mid-April. Yeah. Don't know. I can't say conclusively where I got it because I never was taking care of someone who was confirmed COVID positive. Mm-hmm. So that was a little interesting. And I luckily, the day that I started feeling not so great was an off day. I woke up on a Wednesday morning and I just, something felt just a little off. I woke up and I just had the worst headache that I had. And I don't really suffer from headaches. And it was a terrible migraine. I went into the kitchen to try and make myself breakfast. And I just didn't, like, it was almost like I was so weak to stand and I just wanted to be like curled up in a ball. When I took my temperature, it was just like a low grade, like 99.5 or something like that.
Yeah,
and like could have been normal. Yeah, for sure.
Did you have positive COVID cases that you knew of at that time in your hospital?
They were only rule outs. Yeah, okay. At the time. There was only rule outs that we were getting a couple rule outs like here and there. But
what's a rule out?
Rule out is when they're suspicious of COVID, but not confirmed. But when anytime someone's a rule out, they were doing like all the proper precautions, like they'll be put on isolation and minimizing people that go into the room. And it's basically you're guilty until proven innocent in the hospital. Like you have to protect the staff.
Smart.
And you have to protect yourself and you have to protect the other patients that you're going into their rooms for. So
were you scared to go to work at that time?
Yeah, I was. I was more scared for me to bring it home to either Zach or my parents or someone or one of my patients. So that's why I was like doing the social distancing, following the recommendations. But I think that was, I was more scared of me bringing it home, because as a nurse, I'm used to going into sick people's rooms and taking care of them. Mm-hmm. But when this all first started happening, we're still learning things about COVID-19, and the research is like day to day, and we're learning new things, and we're going to continue to learn new things. So I think just fear of the unknown was the most scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even before COVID, like being a nurse and having an immunosuppressed partner is definitely a constant stress and worry that I have. So we have always taken like precautions. As soon as I get home, scrubs come off, shoes stay at the door, or shoes stay in the car. They get wiped down after every shift. So it was definitely like a stress that I had entering mm-hmm. the pandemic. Yeah, but I just didn't think it would be so soon. So that morning, Zach was like, well, just wait until, like, it was like 8 a.m. when I first started feeling crummy. He's like, maybe you just got up too fast, because I'm not like a super morning person. He's like, just wait and see if you feel better in a couple hours. But I just could not, for the life of me, just get it together. I just felt like something felt weird. Mm-hmm. I couldn't quite place it, but just because what was going on in the rest of the world, I called the infectious disease department at my hospital, because they had already come up with a plan. And we were taking like daily surveys to like track our symptoms. So if like anything came up positive, like if anything was flagged, you would just call this number and they would set up a test. But
was testing widely available in general to you guys?
It was
it wasn't to the public in April.
Right. Yeah. It was starting to become more widely available, but I definitely had to answer questions in a way that would flag them. Like, I think that migraines at the time weren't, or like a headache that had lasted for a really long time wasn't identified yet as one of the ones that my hospital was tracking for. Mm-hmm. That and like, I think anything GI related wasn't one of them, but they've updated since then. Mm-hmm. So when I first, like, I think I had to have met like fevers and something else. But they were like, oh, you, like, I don't think we can screen you unless you have a fever. And I was like, well, it was a low grade fever. But they were able to set me up with a test that same day. Luckily, I called early enough because they were able to test me. I think my appointment was like at 4 p.m. And they luckily got me my results the next morning at 11 a.m. And Zach and I, as soon as I told him I was going to go get tested, we separated. And mm-hmm. that he took all of his bedding. He moved to the couch just because I had woken up in my bed that same morning. And he found a place that he could stay. And that was kind of a hard decision to make, too, because he wanted to make sure that I was okay and I wasn't going to get worse and I was able to take care of myself. But if there was any chance that Zach was negative, we wanted to just err on the side of caution, just because this virus is so new and we didn't want to risk spreading it to other people, because if I needed help, Zach would need to go out into the market and get me food or medicine or whatever it may be.
Right.
But he opted to stay somewhere else, not only for his health, but he just felt bad that I had to stay in my tiny bedroom, just in one room, just because mm-hmm. even that entire day, I felt bad. I just felt bad that I was relying on him to get me food, water.
Oh, so you separated your apartment and you were only in the bedroom and he was only in the living room.
Quarantining from your partner in an apartment is super difficult. Yeah, like we don't have a backyard.
But you said you woke up in your bed and he took his bedding from his bed? Do you have two different beds?
No. He went to the couch. So he took bedding.
Oh, he took some bedding.
He took
bedding
just like a set of bedding. We keep the bedding sets in our bedroom. Yeah, sorry. That was like kind of confusing.
My bed, his bed. I was like, do they sleep in like twin beds in the same room? Yeah.
We push our twin beds together when we feel like sleeping together and then we pull them apart.
Like Ricky and Lucy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it. You know, some people, it's like good sleep hygiene to to sleep separately.
Sure is.
I recommend just getting a really big old king size bed, and then it feels like you're sleeping separately.
Yeah, for sure.
Like this bed behind me, it's enormous.
This
one
right here.
Maggie, I remember you telling me that like you had this overwhelming feeling of guilt. You know, not just because of Zach, but because you were worried that you had infected like patients. You were worried that you had infected, you know, people that you saw because you just had no idea that this was happening because right. There were such strange symptoms at the time.
Right. I think that was one of my first reactions to when I got the call that I was positive. I just felt a lot of shame and guilt that I had brought this into my house and I had brought it into my workplace. Mm. And I mean, it is the infectious disease job to just do contact tracing. So I had to list out everyone I had taken care of in the past 48 hours, which was just heartbreaking. Cause like the kids I take care of already have chronic conditions. Like even the thought of me passing that on to one of them and like, I don't know how their body's going to react to that was just heartbreaking. Luckily, I've seen a lot of them back again, and they luckily did not get it. And having many months since I've been infected, I'm very lucky to say that nobody in my work environment, I think there's like 10 of us that work at a time in my area, nobody tested positive. Zach did not test positive, and he was negative for antibodies.
So he really didn't get it.
I'm still scratching my head about it too, but I did sign up for a convalescent study. It's basically when you donate plasma instead of whole blood, and they will give your plasma, which contains your antibodies, to those that are either high risk or suffering from a lot of complications from COVID-19 that are actively in the hospital. They will give them your plasma. But when I went in for my questionnaire, I had tested, like I had met all the criteria, but as soon as they drew my antibodies, they said, sorry, you do not have the amount needed to be eligible for this study.
What?
Yeah, I still have donated. I think it's just they have to have like quantitative amount of antibodies for the studies specifically. I have still donated plasma since then, so that could be of benefit to somebody, but it's hard, like for that specific study, I was not eligible. Hmm. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And there's still a national blood shortage what is going on right now at my local blood and platelet center. So I've just been donating too when I'm at work because I'm already there. So...
That's smart. You know, I actually have a fair amount of extra blood right now. I should go donate.
Am You're I allowed pregnant? To? What are you talking about?
Am I allowed to? Well, yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I don't think
Probably
so.
Not.
I think you need that for your fetus.
It's there for a reason.
Yeah. Somebody in the comments, let us know if that's a thing. I actually don't know that. But I think no. And you have to you have to make sure that you have enough hemoglobin and like there's this like whole thing. Yeah.
Well, I just got all my blood tested and everything's normal. So,
oh my God, bless your soul. You already want to be like saving the world and growing a human.
Just
they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. That is, I still cannot believe that Zach did not get it.
I know he did. Yeah. And just to preface, he wanted to get tested right away, like, do I have it? But we waited the 5 days for the incubation period to make sure it was going to be an accurate test. And he went to the test. He had a different test, and he had to wait like a week and a half just because he could not get testing the way I got tested because I did it through my work, and it was like through employee health, and he went through the county, so it was a little slower. But according to his test, he tested negative for antibodies. So it's interesting to hear that people who even did have antibodies are releasing them so quickly. But it is also important to note that people's immune systems are so complex, and it's not just like IgG and IgM antibodies that are playing a role in.
I don't know what IgG and IgM antibodies are.
So that's IgG and IgM are like antibodies, and like whenever you get an antibody test, those are the two antibodies they're testing for. One is long term, one is short term. One of them is if you are actively infected, and it's like the short term, and then the other one's the long term. But then your immune system is super, super complex, and it's not just antibodies that are involved in your immune system. So they're still studying the way that certain people's immune system respond to the virus and why certain people get more ill compared to others. It's real science happening in real time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Seriously, everybody is exposed to different things throughout their life. You know, when they're kids, when they're my parents are always saying that I don't get sick very often because I went to daycare as like a baby. You know, basically from 6 months on, and I was sick all the time. And so They're like, oh, well, you know, you don't get sick now because you are just immune to all of these things. And I'm like, is that really how it works? I don't know if that's how it works, but I believe it, you know. And anytime Wes gets sick, I think to myself, this is good for you, actually, because then you'll have those antibodies later.
Yeah. Zach likes to say the same things when he bites his nails. I was like, ew, don't bite your nails. He's like, it's the reason like I never get sick. And I was like, I don't know.
Not sure it works that way.
I don't know about that one.
No.
I don't.
Also, he's a grown man.
Wait, so he thinks that because he bites his nails, when like the nastiness under his nails, he like eats it?
And he doesn't eat it. He just bites it. But he thinks that it's because he's been biting his nails since he was like very young, that it's built up his immune system. Mm. I mean, it's the same argument with the kids, like playing in daycares and stuff, you're exposed to germs. But like,
sure. Like eating dirt.
Well, you are such a sweet, good nurse because A, you were wearing the right things, washing your hands the right amount of times. None of your patients got sick. You were doing it even when there weren't consistent regulations to do so. And B, you were just so worried about everyone. I think that kind of like empathy and compassion are what make you like an outstanding caregiver and nurse.
Thanks. But it was still very mentally draining at the time because there was just so much uncertainty and worry and stress. And yeah, I think I was one of the first people in my immediate friend group. And now we're California's at 600,000 cases.
So Maggie, when did you guys decide to sort of live separately for those 2 weeks? Like, how did you come to that decision? And then when did you decide that you were, you know, no longer going to be able to transfer it? Or
yeah, it was a hard decision to make. And it was, I think he stayed separated from me in the living room for, I think, one to 3 days. I can't remember off like specifically how long it was, but we were going back and forth. And I was like, well, we woke up in the same bed and we were like, together the days I was incubating. So you probably have it, but we just wanted to err on the side. If there was any little sliver of chance that Zach didn't have it, we just wanted to act as though he didn't. So he was able to find a place nearby that he could quarantine by himself. And initially he did like a 1 week plan, and it was just the time apart. And I was without Bowie. I was without him. I was going a little crazy. I was talking to myself. I was like looking at trees outside. I was like, oh my gosh. But
and you didn't want to leave the apartment, right?
No, I didn't leave the apartment.
So you're just,
I couldn't leave. Stuck. And it was very early during the time where it was hard to get any sort of grocery delivery.
Groceries.
Yeah, so my sister lives she lives like 20 minutes away, but she was like, oh my God, she would text me. She's like, there's one opening, but you have to get your groceries delivered to me because I live in a more concentrated area of LA. So she's like, you have to get it delivered towards me and then I'll bring it to you. And then I'm like filling up my cart, but she had already had her cart filled. So like anytime there was an opening, she would just hit like pay now and then it would go. But like as I was filling up my cart, it was taken. I was like, oh my gosh. And it was still during the part where there was like no toilet paper and no paper towels. And luckily Zach and I had gotten a bidet before. So we were saving on toilet paper pre-pandemic.
Literally sitting pretty.
Sitting pretty. Yeah. But it was hard. I definitely had to depend on my sister bringing me food. Ned brought me some bread. Eugene was FaceTiming me. The Habersburgers was FaceTiming me and keeping me company. But it was nice. I felt very supported by my friends and family during the time. So check on, if you know anyone who is infected, guys, just make sure you reach out to them and make sure they're okay and send them little smiley emojis.
When you got COVID, I immediately had this very vivid dream that I remembered that I showed up with a bottle of bleach and I was like, I'll help you. I'll fix it. I'm going to bleach everything in your apartment, Maggie. I got it.
Oh my God.
Have you guys ever tried to look into what your dreams mean?
I never. Am I the only person? I never remember my dreams.
Oh, and
if I do, it's because it's deeply, deeply disturbing. Because then that's the only time I remember them.
Yeah.
And that's not very often. It's like a nightmare.
Yeah. I usually only remember my dreams if I wake up at a weird time or something like that. You know, or if I have something stressful going on or, you know, I remember my dreams when I have to catch an early flight. And I set my alarm, you know, because we don't usually set an alarm. We just kind of wake up like when Wes wakes up. But if we have to set an alarm, I always stress out about it because I feel like I'm not going to like
miss it.
Hear the alarm. And so my body wakes up before and then I remember those really vivid dreams. But Rachel, I think that says something about you.
Where do you look up what your dreams mean? Like Google?
Oh, anywhere. Yeah. I remember when I was a teenager, I had like a book.
I'll look it up, Maggie, and I'll report back what that means.
I think that just means you love me. But
it does. It means I love you and I was worried about you. So Zach's living in a separate apartment he rented. You're at home. You've had COVID. How are your symptoms? Were you capable of taking care of yourself?
Zach wanted to make sure that I was okay. Like he felt very guilty leaving and he didn't want me to feel like he was abandoning me at all. But he more wanted me to be able to walk around my apartment and feel like a human and not feel like a prisoner inside my own bedroom. I had active symptoms, I think, for 3 days. It was just body aches, a low-grade temperature. The headache lasted a very, very long time, and I'm not one who usually suffers from headaches. It was terrible. All I wanted to do was sleep because it was just so bad, and it was just like pressure. And then I haven't talked about this at all, but I did lose my sense of taste and smell for 8 weeks. And there's some people that have been infected with COVID-19 that still have not gotten their sense of smell or taste back. And it is so frustrating. It is so frustrating. I remember just showering and I have this really strongly scented body soap. And I just remember taking a bath and then I was like, I can't smell my body soap. And then I went over to the apple cider vinegar bottle and I like stuck my nose in it and I could not smell it. It was just like, there was like a disconnect. Like it was so bizarre.
It wasn't even that it was like a spectrum or a scale where it got worse, or it just turned off completely.
Yeah. Wow. When I was getting it back, there was like a spectrum of it needed to be very close for me to smell it. And then farther and farther away. And now I think I have most of it back. I can't say for certain. It's like 100% and that my taste is. But like eating things like apples or anything soft and like very muted. Like during the time where Zach was doing his tea tasting and tea blending, he would just try and get me to give him feedback on the tea. And I was like, it just tastes like boiling water. I can't taste anything. It was so frustrating because I wanted to be excited and like give him feedback, but I just couldn't. And then a lot of friends are like, oh my gosh, so exciting that you like don't have a sense of smell or taste, so it doesn't matter what you're eating, so you don't have to worry about binging and like eating bad stuff like while you're sick. And I was like, I mean, cravings are still 100% there. I remember going and eating, my sister brought me some candy bars and I ate like an entire like Rolo package. And I don't usually eat like the Rolos all at
when
once
you
and
can.
Like M&Ms. Yeah, I just keep putting them into my mouth thinking that like maybe like if I had like a large volume at once, like I'd be able to taste it.
Sure.
But it never happened.
Well, I think that actually being like sated, like feeling like you have had enough of something is, I read somewhere that it has a lot to do with tasting the same flavor for like a period of time, you know? So like when you're eating a large meal and you're really kind of like you're paying attention to your body. And so like, say you have a huge plate of mac and cheese, right? And you eat sort of enough to feel like you've had enough mac and cheese. And it has everything to do with tasting, because you're tasting the mac and cheese and your body thinks, oh, okay, I've had enough of that flavor. And that's why you always have room for dessert. Because it's a different flavor.
Interesting.
Isn't that fascinating? But so that's the fact that you couldn't taste anything meant that you were never, you were never satiated.
I was so frustrated. I just like kept eating ice cream. I was like, when am I going to be able to taste it? And I would still like, even if I couldn't taste it, I would like have this idea, or I would DoorDash like once every couple of days because I would run out of groceries.
Right.
And I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get this like one of my favorite restaurants out here, and it would come and I would eat it. And I was like, it's not the same.
So did you cook a lot, or since you couldn't taste anything, how was like making dinner after the fact, like once you and Zach were back in together?
Cooking was definitely very spicy and very citrusy, because that was like really one of the only things that I could taste. And I think it was pain, right? Mm. It's not one
probably just
of
like
your...
like a physical sensation in your mouth.
Yeah. Mm. I needed something very strong and potent. Mm-hmm. So Zach was not a fan of my cooking for a very long time. Lots of talkies, lots of salsa.
This sounds great, actually.
Very salty eggs in the morning. Delicious. And I was a very mild case, and I just want to preface that a lot of people, aren't taking this seriously, because, and I just don't want to like spew misinformation that like, oh, look at Maggie, she's doing like so well, because this is a serious thing that's going on. And I don't want people just to be getting their information from people online and to listen to scientists, because there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there that have been shared by people with a lot of power. Cough, cough, Donald Trump. So I just want that my case not to just be the only thing that you see, you know. I don't want it to affect someone in your friend or family group for you to take it seriously. And I just want to preface that I did lose my sense of taste and smell for 8 weeks. And there are people, should I talk about long haulers? We have a couple friends that are, or people that know people who are who have had symptoms and who are dealing with complications from COVID over a month, over 60 days, over 100 days. So you really never know how someone in your friend and family group are going to respond to this virus, because there's so many people around the world that, like, no two people are going to respond to this virus the same two ways. And it is a serious thing. It's not like a normal flu. And we still are, scientists are still studying the long-term effects of this virus and how it could potentially lead to further complications that we have no idea about now, but could surface later.
So my mom the other day called me and was like, you need to be really careful, Ariel, because they just found one case where the mom spread it to the fetus.
Yeah, and I think it was in Paris, I heard.
Yeah, I think it was in France. But I seriously, I was like, Mom, where did you hear that? But it definitely, it makes you realize that everybody is different.
Yeah. And I was reading online that it was like women who are pregnant right now have like have 30% more chance of complications than the average person.
That's what my doctor said.
Not necessarily that you will get it, but you just are more at risk.
Well, your immune system lowers when you're pregnant.
You're just you're more susceptible to having an extreme case.
Right.
You know, where like you'll be hospitalized or whatever else. But also so from the studies that I was reading, they didn't take into consideration the reason for going to the hospital being pregnancy complications and not COVID complications, which I thought was really interesting. So there's a little bit of a gray area there.
No, I just saw like a New York Times piece of moms and babies, moms who are COVID positive with their babies who are COVID negative, and them meeting them for the first time post-birth was over FaceTime.
Aww,
they're separated unreal. From them immediately until they can't give it to them. How scary and sad is that?
Unreal. I mean, and that's not even, you know, considering the like breastfeeding complications and
I mean,
all that kind of stuff.
I don't think you can.
You can't.
I don't know.
But
not immediately. You can't.
I mean, but your body is ready to breastfeed after you give birth. You know, so it's
right.
I can only imagine how difficult that is, and you know, like. I don't know how many people know very much about, you know, after you give birth, you have this very, very, it's called colostrum, which is like what your body produces for a newborn baby. And it has a lot of the like antibodies that the baby needs when they're first born. And so I imagine that the baby doesn't get those, you know, because they're, I don't know, people are worried that they're full of COVID.
I think something that was like super frustrating to me was like right after my parents got it, everybody, there was like this huge, they got it early. So the start of people saying that it wasn't real. So it was just like frustrating to see that online of people being like, oh, it's not real. But then like, you're like, well, actually my mom's in the hospital right now. So what do you think, she's lying?
That's frustrating. Really,
it's really frustrating too to see people going out, like even in LA, it's like you just want to shake people and like scream at them because you're like, I just want to go home and see my parents, like, but you don't know when that's going to be if you don't, you know, live by your family.
Because we can't, you need everyone to be on board for us to be done with this, and the longer people don't do that, the longer we will all suffer. Like, I worry about the kids being able to go to school ever.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Becky.
I mean, they're fine now, but just frustrating.
It's just hurtful to see. And I'm sure people who have family members that are suffering now are extremely frustrated to see these mansion parties and people who are working in healthcare seeing these things happen or seeing conspiracy theory videos that it's not real. And it's like, would you like to take a walk with me down the ICU and see how this is affecting other people, real people, and their families? So it's very hurtful.
I think they're just idiots. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard when people say they don't believe in it. I said, well, you are wildly uneducated, wildly privileged. Thankfully, you've never had anything horrible happen in your life where you have to believe a doctor. It's like, what more do people need?
It's sad because those people that don't believe in it, or the people who are too privileged to have dealt with it, they'll get it, and it's spreading to Black and brown communities, you know?
Yep.
And it's affecting people at disproportionate rates. It's unfair, and it sucks. And
it's affecting you, Maggie. Like, you go into work each and every day in the medical field, and it's like, people expect you to care for them. And, you know, they obviously deserve to be cared for, but, like, you have to do your part to not get sick.
And it 1,000% works to stay distant, to wear your mask, to wash your hands. My mom went over to my grandma's when she had it early and was wearing a mask, wore gloves. She disinfected the groceries that she brought her, stayed distant. And my grandma didn't get it.
It's so good that your parents were doing that early, Becky, because I feel like there was a lot of conflicting advice in March and early April.
Yeah.
And it was so good that they were already listening to it.
Oh, yeah. It was also crazy because my parents came to visit in February. And by the end of the visit, my dad's like, I'm buying you a jumbo hand sanitizer. I'm buying you this. I'm buying you that. And I was like, Dad, this is going to be, because in my head, I was like, it's going to be like Ebola. It's going to come here. It's going to be something that is a very dangerous thing, but that is super small. And it was crazy that they were so, so prepared. Huge germaphobes, big cleaners, and still got it right away.
Well, yeah. And your brother's a paramedic, right? So then, like, he probably influences them, inspires them to be really cautious and careful.
Well, they actually had their first scare with it was because of my brother, because he got engaged and went to my parents' house. And this, again, was like super early on, maybe March, early March, mid-March, or maybe sooner than that. But he went over to my parents' house. They, you know, FaceTimed us to tell us the news all together. They had dinner. They left. And then the next week, my brother's partner had a fever and started exhibiting symptoms. But in Illinois, like, my parents couldn't get tested until they were in the hospital with pneumonia.
So backwards.
And then my mom got it first, or at least presented symptoms first. And then they just told my dad, like, oh, well, we don't need to test you because you've got it. Like, just act like you have it.
Yeah.
Because she had it. And so the first time they actually couldn't get tested because, thankfully, my brother's partner did not have it. So that was good. And then after that, obviously, they haven't seen each other in person. We had a Zoom wedding.
How long were your parents in the hospital?
My mom was there for like 2 days, and then my dad was there for 5, if I'm not mistaken. I know my mom for sure had double pneumonia. And then I think my dad also had it, and he has other like health problems. So I think that's why he was there for a little bit longer. I don't know. They were sick for a while. They definitely, it wasn't like a 1 week and done kind of thing. And then they both had different symptoms, which was weird. I mean, other than the pneumonia. Like, my dad had really bad nausea and chills, but my mom mostly had, I think, like the muscle aches and then the things that go along with being. She's wildly petite. So anytime she gets sick, it's kind of like I feel like she gets it worse sometimes because she's so little.
You having to think about them having it and being so far away and not able to help, that's so frustrating and hard.
Yeah, I feel like that's how it is always, though, when you live like in a different state than your family. Like, when something happens, you're just like on the phone. But it was like extra hard because usually, like, my parents are always together. They're like, they've been dating since they were 16. And it was just so hard to think of like my mom being all by herself at the hospital and my dad being all by himself at the hospital.
Oh.
It was just hard. But thankfully, they had really good doctors and my mom had a really good nurse. Who actually brought her vegan food.
Oh.
Because they're vegan. And again, she's so tiny that she wasn't really eating the food that they gave her. And she didn't want to be rude and tell them, like, oh, by the way, I don't eat this.
Oh.
But I think that was, like, the hardest thing is, like, thinking about them by themselves. No fun. Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Stay inside. Please don't go out to eat. It's not worth it. Keith and I don't hang out with our other friends because we see you and Zach. And so like the idea, we're not, it's not even like, oh, I'm super scared of getting it. For me, I'm super scared that if I get it and then I saw you guys, you know, if we were filming something that, and like Ariel, you're pregnant. I would like, it's just terrifying when you think about the people.
You really never know how your body's going to react to it until it has to.
We're learning, and correct me if I'm wrong, Maggie, that COVID attacks all over the body. Like we used to think it was the lungs, but now it's like they're finding COVID everywhere, right?
Yeah, they're finding it. It just, it depends how certain people's body process it, because like they were saying how like diabetes and hypertension, you have like this baseline of inflammation and things that your body are doing. So if you add in another infection or of some sort, your body just goes into overdrive and then you suffer more complications because your body's already doing something else.
Yeah, my dad is very immunocompromised. He's been in chemotherapy for the last 3 years and has very advanced bone and lung cancer. And my parents live in Tennessee and they obviously just want to see the babies. Like they want to see their grandkids. And I just don't know how to get to them. Like putting the girls in the car, I was, for 4 days seems insane. And flying, the babies touch things and touch their face. Like you can't sanitize them every second of a whole 5-hour flight. Yeah. They won't wear masks. They're only a year and a half. How? I just keep saying how. How do I do it?
We got to get on that tour bus idea that Keith had. We'll hit we'll hit everyone's families. We'll take the whole second try fam.
We'll make a video series out of it.
Like a souped up camper. Because that has been a dream of mine for a very long time, is going on, you know, just getting one of those, like, it doesn't even have to be like an Airstream. It can be one of the, like, you know, like the bus ones with the
I want like a double-decker RV.
Yeah.
With the whole dry fam.
Do you think Beyonce is using her tour bus right now? Do you think she'd let
Beyonce,
us have it?
Beyonce, will you let us borrow your tour bus,
Beyonce,
please?
Can we borrow it, please? We're just going to do a little cross-country trip.
We'll all get tested before.
I do see a lot of people getting very creative with, you know, travel these days. Because it's very difficult not to travel.
I hope when they come up with planes with more leg room and no more middle seats and just like 6 feet apart recliners.
Yeah, you could get like a family pod, you know, almost like on a train. Like on a train where you like go into your own compartment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting a ton of money from the government, so they should be doing something.
Why are they getting money from the government?
No, they're getting another bailout.
They're getting money from the government, and then there are all these restaurants and, like, it's, you know, locally owned shops and things that are just going out of business completely. And those are the places that, you know, employ...
Guys, production had a very serious conversation last week where we discussed what it would be like if we all, as a group, moved to Australia. I said I'm fully in. I don't know how you guys feel, but it's been proposed.
They won't take Australia. Us. I thought we
they
can't
They won't
go.
Take us.
Nobody wants
our,
us.
Our, nobody
our
wants
map
us.
Is like dark red. Nobody wants I us know. At all. The U.S. They're passport like means Americans. Nothing.
But everywhere is dealing with COVID better than America. So we were thinking we just get out of Dodge for a couple of years.
Sure. That's but why Australia when you could choose, you know, I don't know, Fiji or...
Australia is very close to Fiji That's and New true. Zealand. We were thinking somewhere where we could actually still do productions. Everyone could live. It was English speaking. The guys have been. They're cool cities. And some of our staff wanted to date some hot Australian guys. So I think that was...
Got it.
Okay. That was the driving force.
They want to find a Hemsworth.
Ariel, you and I can get a really cute Manny for the kids.
Oh, I would love that. That'd be awesome.
What if our babies grew up with Australian accents because COVID drove us down under?
Oh my gosh.
That would be so cute.
Wesley.
My sister's boyfriend is Australian, and I can confirm that the Australian accent is very cute.
Could you imagine all the pets and Alfred?
Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
Alfred would have a conniption.
But then he would get used to it. I know this is like a joke.
I know those second try dogs. They are not.
We got to put speed.
Maybe Emma. He can be around Emma. So, you know, COVID, it is real. It's out there. We're still, all of us are staying in our homes and quarantining. If you are able, I would highly suggest adopting a cat. that it will make your time go by a little faster. For the beginning of quarantine, Keith and I were really just staring at each other and playing a lot of video games. And now we stare at Alfred and play little games with him. And one like silver lining, at least in LA, is certain shelters are out of cats. They are, people are adopting at such a high rate. Which is good and bad. We heard from the shelter gal. She was like, oh, it's good that they're going out, but we're a little nervous about if we will see animals come back once the world opens back up and people have like their work responsibilities and their travel responsibilities. So I hope that doesn't happen, but 10 out of 10 recommend adopting a cat right now. If you can, if you're able, it's wonderful. Anything that is sparking joy right now?
I will say that not having to bathe has been wonderful.
Ariel hates showers.
I hate showers. There's such a fuss.
I love my oils.
You get all wet, and then you like your hair has to dry. But
your hair
dries
like naturally beautifully.
I feel like it's never been healthier because I only wash my hair like once every 4 days or something like that. It's been pretty awesome, actually. You know, getting to know your natural smells and, you know, it's just great. It's great, you guys. You gotta get on the stinky train. It's pretty fun.
Only you are beautiful enough to pull this off. The rest of us need these showers.
Need a shower. But nobody has to see me. Nobody has to see you. You know, it's like... And I normally wear my hair up anyway. I can barely stand having my hair down on like a normal day. Like the second I get up from this chair, my hair is going up. And so it's, you know, like nobody notices that it's dirty. It's kind of great.
Is anything sparking joy? I learned how to make bread while I was like quarantining, which is cool.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, really can beautiful we say bread. Something controversial? Is it prettier than Ned's bread?
100%.
It may be prettier, but everyone says that, but also to keep in mind that I didn't have a sense of smell or taste when I made my bread. So I had to really focus on making it beautiful because that's the only thing I had, you know?
It's
so
just like crazy salty.
Yeah, it's like the sourdough starter. Now that I can smell it, I'm like, oh, this smells like I couldn't smell it before. So I was like, I don't know if this is healthy or not, but it was getting good rise, good fall. Yeah. But I would have never taught myself how to make bread. Unless we were in quarantine, because it takes so long. Bread should cost $40. Having to fold it every sourdough every 30 minutes for like 5 hours, plus waiting for it to rise. It's a whole thing. Bread should cost $40. The end.
The end.
I tried explaining to my mom because my mom was like, that's beautiful. Will you teach me how to make it? Like, record a video of you doing it. And then I started telling her all the supplies she needs. And she's just like,
Forget it. I'll buy it.
I'm not doing that. I'm like, <No. laughs> she's like, you can send me because I offered it to her like after I had recovered. And she's like, maybe wait a little bit. I don't know if I want your COVID bread. And I was like, Mom, I'm better now. She's like, maybe just wait.
Keep it a volunteer as tribute to receive your bread.
Right.
Everyone's bread. Matt makes bread. Ned makes bread. We'll do a blind taste test. We'll take it. Delicious.
Wait, you guys make bread too. You made focaccia.
Oh. Yeah, focaccia bread is yummy.
It counts.
Sprinkle that olive oil.
Ours, we're more of cookie people. We did not nail the bread, so we just ask everyone else for their bread when they make it.
Yeah. But you bring the tortillas.
We're a tortilla family. Yes, we have a little tortilla press. Keith's been getting really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, proud
He's
of you.
He's fancy.
Fancy.
Super fancy. Sometimes he'll make tostadas or chip.
You haven't made me chips before, Miss Rebecca.
You got to talk to Keith. I only do the dips at that point. I'm not the tortilla mistress.
Ooh. It sounds like we need to have a carbs only potluck.
I love that.
The best kind.
That's basically my life.
Yeah.
You guys remind me next week to tell you about my worms.
Oh, you got worms your mom?
We are composting now.
Yay!
And every day I go out there. You're talking about sourdough starter, and I'm thinking to myself, like, this sounds like my worms.
Gotta go feed my worms. Where
I go out and I feed my worms every day, and I water them, and I make sure that they're healthy. And and now Wes is obsessed. He'll come up to me and he'll go, "Mama, feed worms."
Oh,
yeah, that's so fun.
That'll be a story for next week.
What are you doing with your excess? Are you using it for the garden or?
Oh, we don't have any excess yet. It usually takes a bit. It takes at least 3 months to get some good compost.
Oh, got it.
For the garden. But that is the plan. That is the plan. It's fun. To use it in the garden.
And your mom's a big worm lover.
Oh my God.
I remember having an hour long conversation about her worms.
My mother's a crazy worm lady.
She loves them.
She loves worms. She actually, in the middle, I don't know if you guys heard the ding in the middle of the podcast, but it was literally my mom. Let me read you this text. I haven't talked to her in maybe 3 or 4 days or something. And I get a text that just says, "How are your worms?" That is what she said.
Her grand worms.
Worms. She has 1,000 grand worms.
The things that we can do are easy, so continue to do them. And we will get through this together and quicker if we keep doing it. So that's our podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe and keep emailing us at youcansistwithuspod@gmail.com. See you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.